Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. I am here with my friend Natalie Lucas, and we're talking about optimal hearing. Yes. And I am thrilled to talk to her. She and I have actually done TV together.
Right.
So this is going to be fun. We're going to have to use our new senses, our senses of listening today.
Challenging me today.
Exactly. Right? Why not? I mean, This is your area of expertise.
Absolutely.
You know what I'd really like to start is a little bit about your background, because it's pretty fun and exciting, and how you got into this area from television production.
Dun, dun, dun. Right. I was a TV producer for almost 20 years with a major news organization and was part of a mass layoff in 2013. All of us were veterans. And so for me, it was a midlife crisis right on cue. I was 40 years old and I was going, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. I went to see a life coach, just completely blindly, to kind of seek out some information. The one thing I knew I didn't want to do was stay in television news.
Okay.
And
wise woman.
Correct. And I'm thankful every day. and so I went to a life coach and was learning that I wanted to do something that was more fulfilling, okay, more satisfying to my heart and soul. I wanted to help people.
With your values.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. I wanted to help people and have a little bit more connection to people. And it made sense to do that with seniors, just because when you look at what the millennials and the younger generations are doing, mm-hmm, they're maybe not quite as plugged in or active.
Did you initially have a lot of testing done? Did you have kind of inventories done to kind of gear where you were interested?
I did some kind of personality testing along the way. If you've been out there long enough, somebody's going to get you with a personality test.
Right.
But I did not do that in kind of an official capacity when I was searching. I just was kind of doing some soul searching, meeting with this life coach and talking it out.
Okay.
And doing research along the way. It made sense to look into health related fields.
Smart. That makes a lot of sense. Why hearing? Why? What do you think it was that interested you about that?
I know exactly what it was. The way that I ended up with this company was that I was at an oyster roast and got talking with the president of the company, who was engaged to a friend of mine. So it just says so many things happen. But being a producer, I went home and started researching it. The reason that I fell in love with hearing was because so much is unknown still about, mm-hmm, how we hear, how we process language, how important hearing is to the brain. And so that kind of piqued my intellectual curiosities as I started digging, and how important hearing is, but how disregarded it's been. Doctors, the medical community, people just kind of let their hearing go and don't treat it.
Well, think about it. When I think about hearing, I think the biggest shock I had, and you don't know what you don't know, you don't think about it. Mm-hmm. When I went in for my own hearing test, hearing analysis, and then was told, you know, you're 60 and you really don't need them, but if you kind of get into it, it's probably a good thing. You're pretty close. You're right on the cusp. And I was like, oh, great. You know, will insurance pay for those?
No.
No. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. No. No. And to me, that signified that they're a luxury item.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shocking to me, because once I had hearing aids, I didn't realize how much I didn't and hadn't heard.
Right.
until I had them. And now I can't even imagine life without them.
It's funny to me just because I tend to believe we have known so little about how the brain works for so long that people kind of just disregarded hearing. Mm-hmm. You dealt with hearing loss. It was expected to happen. It came with aging. But guess what? So does eyesight. Your True. Eyesight diminishes as you age for the vast majority of people. Mm-hmm. Yet we're taking eye tests as kids. We're having our eyes checked throughout our lives. When our eyesight starts diminishing, we go and get glasses.
So interesting.
And ears, for some reason, people would just say, huh, that's expected. I don't hear anymore. Well, that's baloney. I don't, you know, that's not cool to me.
So Optimal Hearing, tell me about the company itself.
The company itself is a family-owned and operated company. They've been in business since 1961. The patriarch of the family wore hearing aids. And so he started going door-to-door in 1958 selling hearing aids, which if you can imagine what a 1958 wow. style hearing aid was.
Yeah.
And his son took over the company, I believe, in the 80s.
Okay.
Three of his four children are our vice presidents.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
Hearing loss runs through their family. So many of them wear hearing aids, which makes them very service-oriented because mm-hmm. as hearing aid wearers, they really know the other side of the coin, too.
Well, sir, folks who haven't worn hearing aids, these are not your great-grandmother's hearing aids, number
right,
one.
Right.
These are, we were just laughing about this. These are, in my words, soon-to-be fashion accessories.
Yes.
Because I mean, mine does, has Bluetooth. It pretty much can do most anything. Talk to us about some of the newer styles, or not so much styles, but what hearing aids can and can't do.
You know, these days, and when you talk about fashion accessories, I fully believe one day they will be. Once upon
just
a
like
time,
earrings, right?
Yes. And once upon a time, you know, eyeglasses were big old round Coke bottle glasses. And now you
we
have
wear
these
them, right.
snazzy, really cool glasses right. on now. They're two-tone with a fade. And people wear designer glasses. That's going to happen with hearing aids, I think. Because the younger generations are all growing up with pink and neon cords hanging from their
exactly.
ears.
Or the iPods.
iPods and Bluetooth devices
yes.
and AirPods. And
AirPods, yes.
Right. Stuff are hanging from our ears all the time now. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly trying to talk my patients into getting red hearing aids or blue hearing aids. Why not?
Exactly.
I only have one woman who is hysterical. She got a red one and a blue one because she's a Patriots fan.
I love it. When I was getting mine, it was the big choice. Do you go neutral mm-hmm. or do you go to a rose gold or whatever? And I'm thinking at that time, I'm thinking to myself, really? I can't see it. So I don't really care.
Everybody goes neutral, but I say go bold.
I agree.
And I think as the baby boomers start moving in and getting a little funky and the aging hippies, I think we'll start seeing more bedazzled and designer hearing aids and colored hearing aids. Why not?
All right. What age do you think people should, well, you're going to tell me from the time you're little on up.
Right.
How often and when should I begin to get hearing tests?
I'm thrilled to see now that sometimes there are hearing screenings for kids in school.
Okay.
And that's important. I mean, starting from a young age, it used to be people who had hearing loss sometimes would get up into their 4, 5, 6, 7, and not be diagnosed. And that doesn't help anyone.
No. Uh-uh.
But certainly I think as you get into your middle-aged years, all those fun years, which I'm right in the middle of right now.
That's great.
When you
it?
Get there, you know, you need to start, just go find help, you know, get a baseline.
Do people know if, it, you know how I think I was 58, and because I was a therapist, I would be talking to my patients, and a lot of them were teenagers. And I found myself, as the years went by, you know, that 18 inches of space, I would get closer and closer and closer. and it made me like, you're kind of bugging me, step back.
Right.
And it was because I could not understand them. Mm-hmm. I felt like I could hear, I couldn't understand, mm-hmm. and I didn't realize there wasn't much of a difference in that. We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
We're going to come back, and can we talk a little bit about that? Again, hearing isn't always the sound. Sometimes it's the understanding.
That's a very good reason why you felt that way.
Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Aging in Place, the podcast. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, For more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. I am here with my friend, Natalie Lucas, Optimal Hearing, and we're talking about hearing loss. And it's funny, in the previous segment, I said when I first noticed anything, it wasn't that I felt like I couldn't hear. I felt like I couldn't understand.
If I had a dollar for every time somebody came into my office and said, I hear just fine. It's just that everybody mumbles.
That's right. That damn TV.
A very wealthy woman. Mm-hmm. For the most part, when people start losing their hearing, I say for the vast majority of cases, when people start losing their hearing, they start losing high frequencies first. And that's because high frequencies are most exposed on the cochlea to sounds coming through the ear.
Okay, stop. Here's Nat. I love this. Is my favorite part. What I do. A, what's a cochlea? B, what is high frequency?
Okay. So cochlea is the inner ear.
Okay.
You have the external ear canal, your middle ear, and your inner ear.
Okay.
And the cochlea in the inner ear is kind of the hearing organ, if you will. Yeah. High frequency, a dog whistle, high pitch.
Got it.
High pitch.
Okay. Okay.
So in our language, we have low frequency sounds that are vowels and hard consonants.
Such as?
A, D.
Okay.
B, the volume of our words comes from all of those letters.
Okay.
And then we have high frequency, non-voiced consonants. We don't use vocal cords to make any of these sounds, so we can't make them louder or softer.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what happens is people start losing their high frequencies first for
ability.
The most part.
Okay.
And when that happens, you're hearing the root volume base of the word.
Mm-hmm.
But you're missing those subtle nuances. In our language, those high-frequency non-voiced consonants help determine and distinguish and differentiate one word from another. So you're losing the subtle nuances. It makes a word a word.
So typically would we, and I think I found myself looking out for workarounds, I would listen much more for context and content rather than individual words.
Mm-hmm.
I was so surprised at the difference when I actually had the opportunity to have a hearing device.
People start, you know, we use a lot of tools to communicate. So when you're experiencing hearing loss and it's untreated, you're relying on your brain to fill in information from context. You're more focused at looking at faces, seeing lips, reading kind of the full picture. And when hearing loss will most often highlight itself is in complex listening environments. If you're in a noisy restaurant with a group of friends.
Got it.
If you're watching TV with a lot of sound effects and background noise and flat screen speakers.
I also found that anytime I watched a foreign film or a film where the accent
are so
was
bad.
Different.
Mm-hmm. They're so difficult for people because you're already experiencing some hearing loss and trying to lean on filling in the blanks, and then with an accent that kind of handicaps you.
So talk to me about what hearing tests look like in today's world.
A hearing test, if you go and get a good hearing test, they're going to want to find out about you, a case history, if you will.
Right.
What's going on? What situations are you having trouble? Where do you think it came from? Do you have any ringing in your ears?
Mm-hmm.
Should be a good discussion up front about what's going on. The hearing test itself is a combination of what we call pure tones. That's hearing tones or beats of different frequencies or pitches from low to medium to high. And then there's speech testing, and that's testing how your brain is processing speech. So
that's
hearing is twofold, your ear's ability to get speech up to the brain and the brain's ability to process it. So then you'll do some speech testing and then you'll end with some bone conduction. And that's actually presenting tones or pitches to your mastoid bone. And what we're doing there is looking for what we would call a conductive element, some type of blockage in the middle ear or earwax or something that is helping us diagnose what type of hearing loss you have.
One of the most interesting things you said when you first came in was that hearing loss was linked to a lot of medical conditions. Talk to us a little bit about, is it more of a, is hearing loss a... Is there a correlation between that and, let's say, heart disease, or how does all this work?
Well, you know, I laugh with my patients all the time. That old song, when you were a kid, leg bones connected to the knee bone.
Yes.
We're all interconnected. And so a lot of conditions are interconnected.
Okay.
When we speak of things like heart disease, or diabetes.
Yes, yes.
People with heart disease and diabetes have higher rates of hearing loss. And a lot of that has to do with circulation and blood supply to the inner ear. If you start constricting and limiting the blood flow to the inner ear, it's going to kill off the little hairs that send signals up to the brain.
Thought about that.
Mm-hmm. So we see, particularly with diabetes, it's a big indicator of possible hearing loss because people have reduced circulation and blood flow to the inner ear.
And talk to me about hearing loss and dementia, because I know that as my mom's hearing deteriorated, it seemed as though cognitively there was she got worse and worse cognitively.
Without a doubt. And major studies are now proving that.
So Dad, wear your hearing aids, please.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Dad, wear your hearing aids, please.
So what we're learning is that when people go with untreated hearing loss, what you're doing is you're disengaging. You're withdrawing from society, from conversation, from people. You're disengaging.
Okay.
And you're retreating within your own head. People get tired of asking people to repeat, or they're embarrassed by it. And so we all have been in tough times in your life. You've all kind of learned, I think most of us have learned somewhere along the way, that the best place for you to be is not always inside your head.
No, isn't that so true?
And so, you know, what hearing aids do is keep you engaged and keep you plugged in. But hearing is also stimulation, fitness, if you will, for the brain. So it keeps your brain stimulated and healthy and fit and active. And they're proving right now that early adoption of hearing aids and consistent wear of hearing aids will, in fact, ward off dementia, Alzheimer's, depression, risk of falls. These are major studies coming out that are showing that, you know, just going along as is and saying, okay, I'm old, I don't hear anymore, well, that's not the way to go.
I found that, and you and I have talked about this when we've just had our conversations, I found that exactly like my monovision or my contacts, if I just decided I needed them. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, should I, shouldn't I, what a pain, this, that, or the other. And I remembered the first month, I hear, and tell me, is this true, is there sort of an adaptation period where your body's sort of recalibrating?
Absolutely. It takes people a really long time, for the most part, to lose their hearing, unless there's a traumatic event or a virus or something that takes their hearing. So you spend all these years slowly diminishing your hearing, and then we bring it back to you all at once.
Exactly.
That can be overwhelming for the brain.
Birds sing, my dishwasher,
Big time.
Yeah.
Big
my
time.
2-year-old,
It takes time to adapt. You've got to give it time to adapt. And it's no different than if you were to get glasses or contact lenses. Your brain needs time to adjust to a new reality.
Can we take a quick break again and come back and talk about sort of what is trending or what is on trend for mm-hmm. hearing devices mm-hmm. and where we are going with the future? And I'd also like to talk about how long hearing aids last.
Okay.
So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Aging in Place.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host Debbie Lines and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place for any stage in life. Natalie and I are laughing and talking about hearing devices and glasses, and I guess these are medical conditions. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know a little bit about what is on trend, what you're seeing is new and improved in hearing devices, and kind of where we're going. Yes, you want them red and blue, bold colors, yo, go.
Right, I do. I want them bedazzled and styled. I want them to be accessorized. Mm-hmm. Fabulousness.
I don't know. It's an awful lot of competition with
the earring. Yeah. Maybe we can kind of coordinate them.
Don't you think? Mm-hmm. I'd be in for that. I'd be down for that.
for the most part, the industry is all moving towards rechargeable, using a lithium ion battery and getting rid of the old hearing aid batteries.
Okay.
That's problematic for a lot of people because fine motor skills. Uh-huh. And plus it's the same old battery and lots of new technology. So those hearing aids drain the batteries really fast.
Okay.
Especially
if
you're
using
them.
My dad has those with rechargeable. Mm-hmm. It drives me absolutely cuckoo because I feel like they spend more time on the recharger than they do.
The original ones did, and they're okay. Improving on that. There are some rechargeable hearing aids out there now that have a 30-hour battery life.
Oh.
So you never have to worry about it.
Okay.
The first rechargeables would start dying on you every day at about dinner time, right, mm-hmm. when you really need them. Right. So they're improving on rechargeability, moving. I think the whole industry will hopefully be there in 5 or so years. Everything is to pairing and connecting with a cell phone and Bluetooth capability, streaming, taking phone calls through your hearing aids.
I love that.
Streaming music and books on tape. I have a patient who walks 5 miles every day and listens to her books on tape while she walks.
And I listen to my, whenever I'm out walking, I love the music through my hearing aids. Mm-hmm. It's great. On the mm-hmm. treadmill.
They're really fancy earbuds. And we're getting more and more capable of doing more things with them beyond just hearing. There are some hearing aid manufacturers that are turning the hearing aids kind of into a Fitbit or an activity tracker or a fitness or health tracker, tracking your heartbeat, your heart rate, your steps, can do all sorts of things there. I'm not sure how far that will go, if that's more of like a short-term kind of mm-hmm. testing the waters out. We've got so many devices that can do that, our phones, our watches.
Are most hearing devices now, mine go over the back of my ear, and I think the microphone is back there, right?
Correct.
Are there different, I don't want to say styles, because I'm not really interested in this style, but different kinds. I've seen some that are just go into the ear.
Every hearing aid manufacturer is going to make a hearing aid that goes behind the ear and maybe a big one that goes behind the ear. We would call that a BTE. That's for people who are severely or profoundly deaf.
Okay.
A lot of power.
Got it.
Then the general behind-the-ear one, like what you have, what many, many people have, those tend to be the most comfortable to wear. They can fit a variety of types of losses. And because there's more real estate, because the unit is behind your ear, you can put more features into them. But it's also not suitable for everybody who maybe don't have the fine motor skills to work the little wire into your ear.
Yeah, I think that's been a hard, now that it's, once you, it's kind of like contacts,
mm-hmm.
like we talked about. Once you get used to putting them in and taking them out.
You have to learn the shape of your ears. We're all different. And most people have never thought about the inside of their ears mm-hmm. until they end up in a set of hearing aids.
And again, I always use my dad to talk about, but it has absolutely driven him nuts. Not the hearing aids per se, but getting them in and out.
It can be hard. People who have really twisty, windy or narrow ears or prolapsed ears, that can be very hard. In those cases, and in cases where maybe people don't have good motor skills or other needs, maybe they have dementia and Alzheimer's and caregivers, mm-hmm. we can look to a custom hearing aid. And those are the kind that just fit in the ear.
Okay.
They can go from very, very tiny to filling up the whole ear. And with a custom, what we're doing is it's a closed fit. We're blocking out
everything,
all of the natural sounds. So they tend to be better for people who have more severe or flat low loss, meaning they don't have any good hearing to lean on.
Once you get a hearing device, do you tend to not lose any more hearing? How does all that work?
There's sensory neural hearing loss. It can be age related. Presbycusis is what you call that. Mm-hmm. It can be genetic.
Okay.
Noise induced. Ototoxic medicines can cause it.
Like Grateful Dead induced?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. The Rolling Stones. Somebody the other day said she thought her hearing loss stemmed from Bon Jovi.
Yeah, so there you go. Hey, I mean, if you got to go, you got
to
go, right?
It can be ototoxic medicines, NSAIDs, or certain medicines that doctors prescribe to fix one thing and damage your hearing. Things like chemotherapy and radiation. So there's so many internal and external variables, there's no way to predict.
Is there a ear device, hearing device hygiene that we need to know about, or even ear hygiene that would be preventative or helpful?
Not really. I'm sometimes amazed. You know, you should check on the cleanliness of your ears every once in a while. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing to do.
Some people produce more wax than others.
Some people produce gobs and gobs of wax. Some people produce next to no wax. Earwax or cerumen is a glandular production.
Okay.
So it varies from person to person. But you do want to kind of check in on, you know, are your ears clean? Every once in a while, I come across people who are completely impacted mm-hmm. from the outer of their ear all the way back to their eardrum with earwax. And that is a earwax-induced hearing loss. They may have other hearing loss, but it will block your hearing. Earwax is nature's perfect sound block.
So you have a pair of hearing devices now. What is the recommended way to clean them? Is it easy? Is it hard? Do you need to? And then how often do we come back and visit and see you at Optimal Hearing?
I see all of my patients every 4 months. Some don't want to see me that much and they'll push it out to 6.
Right. And other people will come every 2 because they can.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then some come every couple weeks just to say, hey.
That's right. We like them a lot.
Yep. But it is important to keep people moving forward and to have somebody else hearing. Sometimes people don't realize their hearing aids aren't working well because the brain hears the hearing aid turn on and tells them they're working.
Oh.
So checking them, vacuuming the microphones.
And vacuuming the microphones?
I have the world's tiniest vacuum in my office.
Sweet. I'm going there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my ear.
But in terms of keeping them clean, you want to brush them off.
Okay.
Things like pollen, skin cells, dandruff, all of these things can settle in the microphones and affect the performance. I always say we're human, so we've got a lot going on.
Walking in the rain.
Not bad. Most hearing aids are very, very water resistant. I've had people jump in the pool with them. I had a gentleman just recently swim about 10 laps before he realized. You can get your hearing aids and take them out if they get them wet and put them in a bowl of dried rice, just like you would your cell phone, and it's going to pull the moisture out of them. You can a lot of times save your hearing aids, even if you've submerged them.
What is the age span of a hearing device?
Manufacturers want us to say 5 years, and that's because we're in a technology boom and keeping all of those old outdated parts. I tend to tell people 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have patients who come see me. I saw a woman today who was in hearing aids from 2012.
Mm-hmm.
They're still working for her. We need it. She needs to stay in them. So we kept her in them and we take care of them for her.
Once you have your hearing devices, is it like a car? Can you like turn them in and upgrade?
No, for the most part, you can't. Yeah. They're regulated as medical devices. So they're living in a 98 degree body. They're kind of as no exchange program. I have helped people put them on a cell behind the ear style because that'll fit everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I have helped people sell those before in neighborhood flyers.
Okay.
eBay. You'll see them for sale.
That slightly used.
Mm-hmm. Slightly used. Buyer beware, of course. You want to make sure that they are good working hearing aids, but you can.
You have been amazing and super fun to talk to. Before we go, it's shameless self-promotion time.
Ooh.
We need to call this that. I love that. So if you will, name Optimal Hearing website where we can track you down, Ms. Natalie.
So my name is Natalie Lucas, www.optimalhearing.com. I have offices in Hilton Head and on Bluffton. And, you know, my favorite part of my job is taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really big on education. A lot of times people are scared before they come and go find out what's going on. Don't be. Come see me and you'll learn a lot no matter what.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Aging in Place.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. This next tip came from one of my friends who has a hearing disability. She's in her 20s and she wears hearing aids. I thought this was such a great idea that I needed to share. Even though I don't have any hearing problems, I'm still doing this today. When Sarah is home, she remains barefooted, or she wears socks. She removes her shoes at the door. Why? It's not because of the dirt or the mud. It's because of vibrations. She says she can feel the floor move. She feels the vibration of the door opening or closing. She feels the vibration of her dog's paws coming down the hall. She even feels the vibration when something is dropped, not even in the room where she's standing. Who knew? Well, Sarah did. I was raised in a barefooted home, shoes first thing off and last thing on, only because I'm a little bit country. I am now more aware of the vibrations of my own home, and I'm also talented enough to pick up my ink pen with my toes when I drop it. I felt the vibration. Who knew?
Natalie Lucas, it was a lot of fun today to talk with you. At the end of every podcast, we have a takeaway. And the takeaway today is this. Do not neglect your hearing. It is one of the most important things you can do for your health and wellness. Thank you all for joining us this week on Aging in Place. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.